This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, September 30th. Well, today's an important day. We've got the small grain summary and the quarterly stocks report. That will give us the final ending stocks number for corn and soybeans for their marketing year. It'll also give us an important number for wheat as to how much was fed and what kind of disappearance we're getting there for the last quarter. So, you know, trade is fairly concerned about the stocks report, but also the small grain summary. This will be the final estimate for wheat production for this year, and along with other small grains. So the trade yesterday getting a little bit of a bounce from quite a bit of pressure on Tuesday. We gained not quite half of that back in the wheat space, but at least we are finding some stability. Stock market is stable. After a kind of a push to the downside and concerns about the government shutting down, it looks like we've averted that. But nevertheless, you know, outside forces have permeated into the grain space, and that's been frustrating to say the least. But for wheat in particular, you know, we're looking at the southern hemisphere harvest probably starting up in 3 weeks at the very, you know, at the early harvest. The bulk of the harvest will be in November, and then that wheat will hit the pipeline November into January. So we do expect to see some fairly big numbers coming out of Australia. Argentina has run into a dry stretch over the last few weeks, and that's still in the forecast. So they have you know, into the last third of their growing season, looks like it's going to be drying down for them. That would likely shave off some of the yield at the top end for Argentina. The other issue going on in Argentina is what we talked about yesterday. The government did approve a variety of GMO wheat, but now their buyers are starting to push back on that whole idea, and worried about it's going to contaminate the entire Argentine wheat crop, or a big part of it anyway, with just a small quantity of GMO. We experienced this when we first started GMO, just a minute trace, even left over in a barge or a truck, would contaminate the entire cargo. So that is some concern, and that was being voiced by Brazil, which is by far Argentina's biggest buyer. So now Argentina raises hard red winter wheat. If that becomes a problem, then that's just, it completely throws the doors wide open for U.S. hard red winter wheat. There's no other place to get it other than Ukraine and Russia. Russia is pretty much sidelined with their onerous export tax, and Ukraine will export a little bit, but they're not a major, you know, certainly not to the degree that Russia or the United States would be. So they would run out much quicker. So it's interesting to see the dynamics here. The one thing that would really be a drag on hard red winter wheat suddenly is finding itself in a peculiar situation, and that, of course, is the GMO coming out of Argentina. So we'll be monitoring that very, very closely. We're already looking at world demand be quite strong anyway. Algeria just bought 580,000 tons. Pakistan's in the market for another 500,000 tons. So world demand has been strong since harvest, and there just wasn't a lot of wheat on the market. Even U.S. farmers in the Central Plains, much of that wheat went directly into feedlots. In Russia, farmers weren't selling to start with. Then the government, you know, kept increasing the tax. So it's been difficult for Russian exporters to really compete in the market, in the broader market, other than more local and regional markets. And speaking of Russia, more reports about their harvest continuing to show that yields are less than last year. So far, they're running about 10% below last year for wheat yields. That's a significant drop, and it explains why production estimates have been dropping, and it looks like USDA is going to be pretty close to where the private guys are starting to come down to. So this would suggest that you know, the government is not going to remove the tax or even lower it. And as interior prices go up and they're nearing the all-time highs that were put in earlier this spring, the export tax goes up. So the higher the FOB offers go, the higher the tax is. It kind of feeds on itself. And this is going to just continue to keep Russia on the sidelines in the major export competition. So again, you know, they export hard red winter wheat, as does Argentina, as does the United States. Those are the three major exporters. And again, Ukraine is in there, but it not to the degree of the other countries. So I think this just further underscores the potential upside to Kansas City wheat. Now, in the meantime, of course, we're seeding winter wheat here in the United States and around the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. As a dry start in the Southern Plains does look like it's going to get a good shot of rain this weekend and into early next week. It appears that that rain is shifting a bit more toward the east, so the far western part of the plains may get missed, but a pretty good portion of the plains will get at least a decent soaking of rain. That's going to be huge to getting the crop established before dormancy sets in and give us the potential for, you know, at least to start with some good yields coming into next year. But the real battle is going to be in the northern plains, where the drought is continuing, believe it or not. The heat is continuing, and the battle for acres next year. We know we're going to come into next year with very tight corn and soybean end stocks, and spring wheat, and barley, and oats, and all kinds of crops. So the battle for acres will be intense. Like this past spring, it was really just a battle between corn and soybeans. Next spring, it's going to be between all spring grains that are grown from Nebraska north, basically. So I just think that that's really probably where your major highs will be put in, barring a weather market next summer. But to buy acres, you've got to move prices higher into the spring. So that would shoot for that early May seasonal window. And I think you'll see that for all of the grains, in particular spring wheat and corn and soybeans. But and probably if you really want to zero in, probably spring wheat. It has to buy more acres. And if corn and beans are strong, the pull for North Dakota farmers will be to the row crops. And so I think there's an enormous amount of upside potential in spring wheat and hard red winter wheat as well. But I think the leader, you know, it's going to be between hard red winter wheat and spring wheat, I think, right now. But as you get into the spring, and presuming we have decent moisture for hard red winter wheat in the southern plains, then the leader to the upside would be spring wheat. But I think either one of those are in a very bullish position. So that's going to support the entire wheat space. We'll get our pullbacks, and it's kind of struggled here. We haven't had that kind of energy they typically see, even with the strong world demand, you know, taking us higher into early October. Some of these outside forces have been a drag on the market, but I do think the wheat markets will be well supported on the breaks, at least until we get into the Southern Plains harvest, and we may stabilize a while. I think we'll see a lot of pressure from that, and then once we get into the new year, I think then we start to work our way higher into that springtime time window. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.